Hello, you guys. Welcome to the Secret Place podcast. Y'all, it is season two. Let me tell y'all, we have a special guest with us today. And as I was telling in last episode, God has specifically put people on my heart. I kid y'all not. Like, I was genuinely one night just writing down random names and I didn't even know some of these people. I've never even met them. And the Lord put specific people on my heart and specific topics to talk about. So today, y'all, I'm super excited. We are with Ashley Jones, and she was an ex-witch. So, y'all, this is about to be a crazy episode. Y'all, give it up for Ashley.
Hey, y'all. What's up? I'm so excited to do this.
Yeah.
Man, I feel like we've been talking about this for forever.
Forever.
It hasn't been that long in real life.
I know.
But I feel like in the spirit, he's been preparing us both to do this. So, I'm really excited.
Amen. Y'all, Ashley, literally the first time that I met her, we called and we talked on the phone for literally like 3 hours. Yeah. I kid you not. She is so anointed, you guys.
Oh.
Truly. I'm being serious.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. It's all for the Lord. Ashley, can you tell us a little bit? Because y'all are getting the sneak peek because I don't really know your story. We've been holding off on this.
Yeah.
Because I called you even today, like planning for this just with stuff and situations that have happened. Mm-hmm. And I was just wanting to hear a little bit of your story. But we've been holding off for this. So y'all are getting the sneak peek. I've only known you on the phone, but in person for a few hours.
Maybe like 2 hours.
Honestly. So we go way back.
Yeah. But we've been friends for a long time. So.
But can you tell a little bit just about your story? And I know that's a broad question, but let the Spirit speak.
Yeah. So, okay. So I'm Ashley. First of all, I'm so thankful to be doing this with you because, man, the anointing that the Lord has on your life is so tangible. Like, we were just, to be vulnerable, we were just praying before we started. And, man, like, the Lord has such an anointing over your life and over your mouth and over the authority that you carry in the spirit. So like, I am so thankful to be here and to do this with you. And thank you for the encouragement too. But yeah, so I'm Ashley. I am married. I'm 27. I don't have any children. I know. First of all, I thought you were like at least 26, 27.
Not that young.
He said 21.
Yeah. I'm over here hanging out with people who are like 30 years old. It's fine. We're at the age 20s. Yeah. It's like where either you can be single and living in your parents' basement or you can
100%
have a whole like kids and be married and everything. Mm-hmm. Or you can be both, but I hope not.
Oh my gosh. Well, hey, listen, I feel like we're walking two separate seasons of life, but it's been so cool to see how the Lord has helped us help each other.
Honestly.
In the different seasons. It's been really cool. Mm-hmm. So, I'm 27, Cruz 21. What a wild thought. So my testimony starts really at about 15 years old, 13 to 15. Before that, I grew up in a Brethren church. So I grew up, the church that I went to was very legalistic, very ritualistic, very much so constricting. Mm-hmm. It just felt constricting. It never felt relational to me. It felt so religious. And so, I was just like, man, I just feel judged here. I feel different here. I feel not wanted here because, you know, I was a little ratchet then. I'm just going to be for real. I was a little ratchet. Honestly. And I was like, man, I just don't think I fit in, you know? And so I was about 13 years old where I got into a relationship with a boy who I thought I was going to marry. Mm. Like, I was 13, by the way. Like, I was so wise. And I just was like, man, he's my guy. Yeah.
Not that.
13.
That's giving middle school.
Oh, barely middle school.
Not that eighth grade crush.
Oh my gosh. But I thought I was going to marry him. And I was so convinced. I mean, I would have died for this human. And I mean it. Like, really. Hmm. Even looking back now, I'm like, wow, I was so
down bad.
Wrapped. Like, And so it was about a year into the relationship, which, by the way, a year relationship for a 13-year-old is kind of wild. Okay, this one ended up being 7 years.
7 years.
Yeah, yeah. And God bless. It is by the grace of God. So it was about a year into that relationship that it started to become very verbally abusive, super verbally abusive, very emotionally and mentally abusive. And I'm 14 at this time, so I don't know anything about my identity. Like, I didn't really know anything about who I was, who I wanted to be, who I was created to be. I didn't know anything about that. Like, I said, I mean, I only saw religion. I didn't know anything about a relationship with the Lord. Right. So I was just on rocky ground. And it was right around that time that I started to see this abuse, and not as it was. I didn't look at this and say, wow, this is so abusive. I just thought like, oh, I'm not doing enough, or I'm not enough, or I'm not behaving in a way that would deserve respect or love or whatever. I just always thought I wasn't good enough. And so another year passed, and by that time it was physically abusive. And it wasn't, and I would always say this, well, it's not like he punches me in the face, you know. I would always say that and like undermine the severity of what was really going on. And I just, man, I just started to seek validation so heavily because I wasn't getting it in that relationship. And so I remember I was about 15. I was like newly 15. So young, because I was seeking so much validation. I was like, well, he had had sex before.
Yeah.
He had had sex with many girls before. And he was just a little bit older than me, like 16 or 17. And I was like, well, you know, and I knew from hearing at church, like, I kind of want to wait. Like, you know, I just want to make sure.
Wait, how you were 15, he was 17?
15, he was like 17. Yeah. Which was, yeah, giving a little.
It's giving pedophile. I'm sorry.
It's giving a little weird because when he was 18, I was freshly 16.
What did your parents think about that?
Honestly, I hid so much of that relationship from him because I knew deep down it wasn't good. So I don't, I think obviously that they weren't stupid. They knew that there was an aspect of that was just not right. But I don't think they really
were. They like strong believers, or
I wouldn't say that. Okay. I wouldn't say they weren't Christian, but I definitely didn't see Jesus in my home. So I don't really know. And I don't, I don't think it's my place to say at that time because I don't know. But I wasn't seeing Jesus modeled to me at home. And so I was just so lost. And so I was like, well, I'm going to have sex with him because then he's going to love me. This is why he's doing all this, because I'm holding out. It's been 2 years. I mean, 2 years. A guy's, you know, had sex before and he's dating this girl for 2 years and then they don't have sex. So it's like, well, I'm just going to do that. And then it's going to be all better. Man, was I wrong. And man is the enemy a liar. He became very quickly sexually abusive, physically abusive, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, like just abusive. And that continued for another 4 to 5 years. And I didn't even see it for what it was. But to go to the, about the time where I'm about 15, 16 years old, I just lost every sense of my identity. Like I thought I was going to marry this boy. So I was like, my identity is now like a stay-at-home wife. I want to like plan families together. I want to like, you know, all this stuff. And that's what I put all my identity into because I felt like God had let me down. Like he's not who I thought he was. So I was like, I'm just going to go full on this. But then that let me down. So I'm like, I don't even know who I am. I don't know why I'm here. I was at that time, I was so anxious and depressed. And honestly, trigger warning for any of your people watching, just thought about what it would be like to not be here, you know, anymore. And it wasn't that I ever thought about actually doing it, but I just thought about how nice that would be. And I remember my grandmother, who is still here to this day, and I'll give a really cool update about her at the end. She was, still is, unknowingly, what she considered a white witch. A lot of people are like, what does that even mean? Like, she's white?
It's giving Narnia.
Okay, no, wait, stop. Let me just shamelessly plug, if y'all haven't watched Narnia as a believer, it's a movie about the gospel.
It's so good.
It's so good.
It is
so
good.
Anyway, but relevant. She was a white witch, and I always knew that because my whole life I would experience things that no one else experienced. Like I would feel things and sense things and like see things.
You have an example of like what that
Was? Like I remember one time, this was the first time that it actually really scared me. Like this was a pretty intense time. Before that, it was kind of just like, did you see that? What was that? And they're like, huh? I'm like, you didn't
you
see
seeing
that?
Stuff?
I was seeing stuff all the time.
It's giving generational curse.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. It's in the giving bloodline. Generational curse. And so I was at a friend's house one time and I was helping her move into her house. If she watches this, shout out, she'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It was a horrifying thing. We move into this house and I thought it was weird when I pulled up and I was like, I'm not loving this. I'm not loving this. And I was young. I was like 14, 15. I'm not really loving this. And come into the house, all the locks on the doors are inverted, so you can like lock someone in a room instead of out of a room. Correct.
And what, you were living there?
No, no, no. My friend was moving in there and I was helping her move. And I'm like, this is weird. What is that? No. This is weird. And so I was helping her move boxes downstairs, which is where her room was going to be. And I saw this figure under the stairwell. Like old houses, you can typically walk under the stairwell around it. It's just like kind of in the middle of the room. And I was like, I have to leave. Like, I can't be here. I'm not going to stay here. And she was kind of freaked out too. She was like seeing me like, what's going on? So she's like, okay, we'll leave. Like, let's leave. So I leave. I go stay in that at another friend's house.
You remember what the figure
looked like? It was just like this dark, like, it didn't have a lot of features. Okay. And throughout my story, you'll kind of see a theme of that. But I remember going to my friend's house that night, a different friend, and staying that night. I had a dream that night that I was back in that house. And there was this thing in a long black robe type thing. And I saw it standing in the doorway of one of the halls, and it was looking at me, like with his head down, its eyes like that. And his, I remember it so detailed. I remember it so much detail. And his arms, I'm assuming it's a he, are like this, and it's levitating off the floor, just staring at me. And I start to like scream, or I start to say something, and it like comes at me like that. If you're watching video, you'll see. It was horrific. But I woke up and immediately started drawing it at like 2-3 a.m. I started drawing this thing. I show it to my friend, and she literally like, she's like, this is horrific. What you drew, where is this from? Like, and I said, the house I was at, I saw this, I know that this was there. So I call my friend's mom and I say, hey, I need to show you something. I show it to her, and she says, do not tell my daughter. Do not tell your friend that you saw this in a dream. Do not show this to her. And I said, why? And she said, because she told me she saw something today and described it looked just like this. And I said, oh. So things like this would happen to me before I knew Jesus. And to be honest with you, maybe I'll look into this. I don't know if I even have a great theological explanation for that, because I didn't know him yet. But I was...
Were you still with the boyfriend at this time?
Yeah. Yeah. This was like 14, 15 where that thing happened. And I was just all the time seeing stuff like that and experiencing stuff like that. And so my grandma, when I went to her and was like, hey, what do you do? Like, I've kind of lost my identity everywhere else. What do you do? She's like, well, I do this. It's light work. She called it light work. She didn't say I'm a witch. I'm
like a, I do witchcraft. Journal? Have you seen that on TikTok?
Yeah. Don't, by the way.
What is that?
Do not. Shadow work is a demonic way to say that you are doing inner work. It's a demonic way to say that you're doing like self-reflection. You like are looking back into past things, trauma that happened to you, and the negative emotions that came with those things. It's a demonic way to quite literally, you know, people talk about spirit guides a lot, which are just demons in your head that tell you things. It's basically connecting with those spirits,
like
to
spiritual medium,
kind of, to help you heal and to help you process and to help you work through trauma. And it's completely demonic, and you should absolutely stay
away from
it. Tell
me why I ordered one of those on TikTok.
Oh, and Karoo, you got
it. And I literally burned it. I felt the conviction. I didn't even know what it was, and I had to burn it.
Yeah, not good. Not good. Not good. Thank God for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank God for the Holy Spirit.
And the conviction of that.
Oh, my.
But you said your grandma was doing the light work.
So she said, yeah, I do light work. It's light and love. And I was like, oh, that's what I need. I need more light and love in my life, because I'm not feeling loved and I don't see a lot of light.
Right.
Okay. So I'm like, yeah, that's what I need. And so I was like, great, where do I start? And she's like, well, I need to tell you. And she had been kind of saying this my whole life. I just didn't know what it meant, because I never asked. But she's like, you know, you have the gift. And I said, what does that mean? What gift? How do I use it? You know, and we all, just to note, have a spiritual pull.
Yeah.
Our souls come from a creator. So we have a spiritual pull just naturally, well, supernaturally. And so I was like, oh, how do I do that? Just show me how to do that. That's what I wanted. That's what I need. And so I just completely dove my full identity into this at the age of 15.
Wow.
It started with crystals. Mm-hmm. It started with manifestation. Mm-hmm. It started with horoscopes. Mm. It started with zodiac signs and astrology.
Let me tell you before we get into that, because you don't know much about my story. And I don't know if y'all listening either. So like, mm-hmm. it's crazy. Right before, and I want to hear your thoughts on this. Right before I started following Jesus, I went through like a twilight phase. So it was like, is weird. So like, I was like watching Twilight, but it wasn't just like, I'm like an obsessive personality. So if I'm all in, I'm all in. With Jesus, I'm all in.
I get it.
I'm either all in with him or I don't want anything to do, because just how God created me. I know he wanted me to be. Mm-hmm. And some people say like, I'm like a, what's the word? Like extremist. But for for Jesus, you're supposed to be an extremist.
Yeah, amen.
So if you're not an extremist for Jesus, then what are you doing?
Amen.
Anyways. So, period. So this is crazy. So I started watching the Twilight films, and this is how the enemy can get you every single time. Mm-hmm. He uses the thing that you're watching and the things that you're listening 100%. To. And I will continue to preach till the day I die. The music that people are listening to and the things that they're watching will affect them spiritually. Yes. Because your eyes and your ears are portals, and you've probably 100%. Seen that just in your walk. And I'm excited to hear more of what you're going to say. But right before I started following Jesus, Satan felt the shift in the realm. He did not know. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't know the future. He doesn't know what's going to happen.
He is not God's equal.
Exactly. And he doesn't know that Jesus was about to save me radically. Mm. But he felt the shift. There was a shift that, and I get chills thinking about this. I believe that God was doing something in my life that in the spiritual realm, even whenever I couldn't see it. So I started watching these Twilight films, and I was obsessed with them. I was like watching them.
Same.
You too.
It's obsessed.
I don't know. It's giving like the hopeless romantic, and it's giving the demonic of like,
I was obsessed.
What's in
it? I get it.
It's demonic.
It's addicting, which is demonic.
It is demonic because it's like making, and it's honestly, because I hear from your story, it's giving like finding your worth in like a significant other. Mm-hmm. And like that was the same with me, of like wanting to find my worth in like a lover or whatever that is.
It puts you in a different reality. Yeah. Like, it makes you feel like you're not here anymore. Mm. Which is like, we shouldn't like that.
Yeah.
We shouldn't want to escape our own world.
Right.
But it makes you enjoy that so much. It's addicting.
It's gross.
Yeah.
And so I started watching those films. And then next thing I know, I caught myself at the crystal shop downtown with my cousin. And we were like, this was my excuse. Oh, I'm just going to support small businesses. Not that. So I started going downtown, and I saw them doing like palm readings and all that stuff.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
And it's the way I was like, I was saying to myself, I was like, I'm not going to get my palm read. That's demonic. But I'm still going to trust a crystal to protect me. And I was looking at the what the crystals were going to do. Like, oh, this one is going to make me like attract love. And I'm going to buy this.
Yep.
So
this one's for healing. This one's for protection. This one's for love.
And it's everywhere. It's in bookstores. It's everywhere.
Spells. Literally.
It's demonic. And people need to understand that. Yeah. Because people are like, oh, I'm not worshiping Satan. No, because if you're putting anything in the place of God, you are trusting in that rock more than you are Jesus to protect you. Jesus is all you need. We have a God-sized hole in our heart. Mm-hmm. And once Jesus fills it, you don't need no rock.
Amen.
You don't need nothing.
Why do we worship the creation and not the creator?
Scripture. That's in scripture too.
It's like, it's because we need a counterfeit when we don't have the real thing.
Mm.
It's because we need a substitute when we don't have the real thing. Mm. And our soul, like I said, our souls, like they come from a creator. Yeah. Like, he was there when we were created, right? And so what we do naturally is we look for love. We look for joy. We look for peace, which is, by the way, the top three fruits of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And so if we are seeking these things and not finding it in the Lord, Satan will give us something else to
and it never, find it, quote never unquote. Fills.
Right.
It just proves God's existence, to be honest. Yeah. How everyone is worshiping and everyone's going to something, whether you want to admit it or not. And so I caught myself at that store, and then it's the slow things that the enemy does. Oh, I'm not trying. Oh, like, for example, people, because I talk a lot about Taylor Swift being demonic. Oh, well, I'm not trying. I'm not worshiping Satan. It's the little things that the enemy want to do. And then you slowly catch yourself. And so with me, I was listening to her music in that Reputation era. Mm. The revenge she was speaking on, the darkness she was speaking on. My hair was black, y'all. That's embarrassing.
You were a different person.
A different person. I'm going to have to peep a picture right there, because it's like,
And
it's crazy how the Lord, every single time, whenever we start going through a dark hole, he literally saves us. So I went on a mission trip a few months after that, and God can radically flip my heart and just soften my heart again. I shaved my head. I was like, this I'm a new creation for the Lord. But I remember having like, and there's pictures of me wearing like crystals around my neck, and I'll still call myself like a Christian and stuff. But at the airport, The next thing I got was a voodoo doll.
Oh.
Have you seen how they have those?
Yeah.
At the airport?
Anything you need and want that could be worshipped to another idol or the devil is going to be easily accessible to you.
It's crazy.
Period.
So I came home and my friend was like, why do you have crystals? Why do you have this daylight ring on your finger? It was giving Twilight. So like, she just made me. And another thing too was manifestation. So like, and I know you can feel on this. And yeah. I don't know if my followers really know this, but there's even a video of me like doing it one time. I was like, I've been it's like the slow motion walk on TikTok. I've been manifesting for a while.
Oh my gosh.
You can cringe. It was like, my name will be known. And it was like, I would like write stuff in my journal. I will have this many followers. I will do this.
Wow.
It's demonic because it's like, who do we think we are to say that we are? Truly, I believe manifestation can work when you're playing with demonic spirits.
Oh, there is demonic power and it's absolutely real.
And that's what people don't want to know. And that's why you see all these artists stuff isn't making sense with the Grammys and all this. Because they're playing. It's the same thing I saw Jackie Hill Perry saying the other day of like, the reason that a lot of rap songs and stuff sounds good is because they're in the spirit, but not the Holy Spirit, in a demonic
That's
one.
True.
So how much better music sound in the Christian rap that we hear and just worship when it's in the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
That's why it moves you in a different way. But all that to say,
facts.
I digress. So I was like manifesting and stuff for a little bit. Not like, and the thing is, I wasn't like in my room with a candle like, Satan, like all this stuff. It wasn't that.
I was.
Yeah. Hey, it's okay.
Praise God that you were not.
Honestly. But anyway, so I have a story of that as well. But the Lord saved me from that. My friend said, we're going to throw all this out in the garbage, threw it out. And then I found the Lord. So
hey, I got that friend too. That's cool.
Praise the Lord for that friend.
He's faithful, man.
He is.
Wow.
And you're blind in that moment. But anyways.
You have no idea.
Yeah. Back to the light work.
So the light work. So yeah, and so it started with this stuff, right? Crystals, manifestation, all that. And it starts innocent. Yeah. That's what it always looks like. Innocent. Can I just tell y'all something? The devil, his demons, they don't care about your intentions, okay?
That's so good.
They don't care about your intentions. Yeah. People are like, oh, well, I manifest, you know, to God. I'm like, oh, that's a contradiction of scripture.
Who's your God?
Right. Well, here's the thing is that... The devil, since Genesis 3 in the beginning, has been twisting scripture, right? Amen. So he ain't going to do nothing different nowadays. He has no new tricks. Everything that he has is written, okay? And we can know that. And that's how we can fight. The sword of the spirit, the word of God.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's going to make it all look so innocent. He's going to make it all look so appealing. But he's going to make us as Christians think that we can just throw in the word God and make it not what it really is. Make it... Yeah. Innocent or make it whatever. It's demonic
because you see all these celebrities at like the Grammys thanking God, but who's your God? That's the thing.
Yeah, that's so far.
Just because it says God, it's little g God. It's not uppercase G.
That's true. And you know, like you brought up, and I love that you brought it up because it's so true. People, especially Christians, which I'm like, oh my goodness, we got to read the Bible, y'all. Like, we got to get in our Bible because for us to think that none of this stuff is real. Oh my goodness, if Satan can convince a Christian that the darkness isn't real or that his demonic power isn't real, then we will literally be so naive to the point where we put ourselves into danger when we're like, oh, I can manifest and it's totally fine. Yeah. Or I can play with these crystals. It's totally fine. Yeah. It's like he has made us so naive to the point where we are literally at danger. And we can't do that. We can't be as Christians thinking like, oh, none of that's real. Sister, brother.
And even like the quote, like, it's not that deep. It is that deep.
Oh, it's that deep. It's always that deep.
Everything is that deep. Everything is connected to something. And like, we were on the phone earlier today and you said, like, if you are not a child of God, because many people say just because like the Lord created you does not mean you're his child. It literally says in Romans that the ones who we have to, what I don't know the specific scripture, if you can back me up on it, but it says like, whenever we truly believe in God, put our faith in him, then we cry, Abba Father.
100%.
Then he's our father. He adopts us. Yep. Just because he created us doesn't mean he's necessarily the father. And so many people are like, I'm a child of God. No, you're not.
Yeah.
You've never called on the name of Jesus and turned from your sins.
Yeah. So like, you know, if you are not a child of God, you are a child of the devil. You're adopted out of what? Like, if you were already just born into the kingdom of heaven, there would have been no need for Jesus's death and resurrection, and there'd be no need for adoption. You're not just his because you say you are.
Yeah.
You know?
Just because it's in your bio?
No. No.
Just because you wear a cross necklace?
No. And, you know, Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23 says, many on that day will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, have I not done many wonders in your name, prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name? He will say, depart from me. I never knew you, you worker of lawlessness, which means lukewarm. So it ain't enough.
And it says, those who are my sheep will know me by my voice.
Yeah.
Many
people. They hear me. They know my voice.
God is speaking to them, but they don't hear his voice. They say, why does God feel silent? Maybe because you don't recognize his voice.
Yeah.
There's times of silence, and but it's like many times, what are you doing in that silence? Because it's because you have allowed so much distraction to come over you.
That's good.
You know?
Yeah. And we got to be rooted in his word if we want to know his voice. I mean, seriously, people are like, I don't hear God talking to me. I'm like, girl, do you pick up your Bible every day? Because this is where I hear him talking to me most.
Come on.
Is picking this up and saying, this is the word of God. These are the words from my father. What does he have to say today? You know, so that's we got to get back to the
that's
root.
So good. People are complaining like, I don't feel the Lord. But it's like, you're not opening up the word for it to speak to you, because this is life right here. This is food.
Yeah.
It's a daily bread.
And I like to say this all the time. You don't read the Bible. The Bible reads you. That's the truth.
That's so good.
That's the truth.
Because
we think about, oh, I can't read the Bible. I can't read the Bible. I'm like, girl, first of all, we got to have the Holy Spirit. We got to pray for him to interpret for us. And once we do, you open up this page. It don't matter what you're reading. You're like, God, thank you.
Period.
He speaks. It's his word, you know?
That's so good.
So, but anyways, I digress.
Amen.
So yeah, and I started to get into deeper things pretty quick. Once I opened the door, it was a domino effect. Like, I could have never prepared for it. I thought, I was like, man, this is what I was really called to be, because I am just like leveling up in the spirit. And that's what the new age tells you, by the way. And this is what's so deceptive, is that, yeah, you might be struggling with anxiety and you might have panic attacks and depression and think about, you know, suicidal ideation and like all these things, but it's because you haven't been enlightened yet and you just need to reach the next level.
Yeah.
And once you reach that next level, then you'll find that peace and that whatever, and then you don't find it. And they're like, it's the next level. Yeah. But the next one though, you know, and it never ends.
Yeah.
It never ends. And it gets to the point where, and this is blasphemy, where you reach your Christ consciousness, your highest being. You have opened your third eye. You are, you know, talking to your spirit guides. You are like, oh man, like, I mean, deep, really deep. And I got that deep. I got deeper, y'all. I was doing blood rituals. I was doing seances. I was reading and casting spells out of a spell book. I was a witch. I'm not saying that to be facetious and funny, because I was in the new age. I'm like, no. Like, I literally was putting curses out in the world with...
And it was bloodline, so it's harder to break.
Oh, my. Like, people don't understand that... Well, first of all, this was spoken over me my whole life, okay? I had word curses spoken over me my whole life. You have the gift. Don't ignore it. You have the gift. Play around with the light. Come into the light. How deceptive.
Yeah.
How deceptive. Like, Jesus is the light, you know, and it's the lamp into our feet, the light into our path. And the enemy comes, it says the enemy comes disguised as an angel of light. That's what the Bible says. So when, you know, I'm hearing all this light work, all this, you know, amazing light, love and all this stuff, I thought, great, that's exactly what I need. And it was the enemy. It was, you know, a wolf in sheep's clothing. And so, but I got deep. I got really deep. And I started to experience some really demonic stuff that y'all thought that story I told you before was demonic. Absolutely not. It got really deep, really fast. Like, so when I was in the probably like the deepest parts of it, I was 22. Yeah, I was probably 22. So we're fast forward. I mean, I've been doing this since I was 15 and I'm 22. So I've been doing this for years and your girl, I was a seasoned bet. Okay.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is I was no longer experiencing stuff that was like, oh, did you see that? Or like, did you hear that?
Yeah.
Or like, it was no longer expected. It was like, I was having sleep paralysis every night, every night. I was waking up at 3 a.m. every night. I was experiencing things that were so undeniable and so straight up in your face in the spirit that I thought to myself, I remember thinking to myself one day, if I told anybody about what I was experiencing, they would lock me up. They would send me away.
What is like a normal night of like sleep paralysis? What would you see?
Sleep paralysis is so common and people think it's a medical thing.
Yeah.
And I was even told by people that it was like, oh, it's just medical. Like, you probably have, like, vitamin deficiencies. And I was like, oh, I feel like I'm going to die every night. Mm. Like, this just can't be. But so I remember the first time I ever had it scared me so much. Like, I didn't sleep for days after this, but I woke up. Sleep paralysis is basically when your body is still asleep and your mind is awake. And so I woke up, my mind woke up, and my eyes opened, and I probably tried to get up to pee or something and realized I was, like, stuck. And I'm like, I can't move. Mm-hmm. And I was so confused because it had never happened to me before. Yeah. At this time, I was probably, like, I don't know, 17 or 18. It was when I was getting into the deeper stuff.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I couldn't move. I'm, like, stuck. And then immediately when I realized that, I started hearing laughter loud, laughter.
Wow.
And it was just one voice. And then it was like bouncing off the walls, like, of my room, just bouncing off the walls all around me, like, tormenting me. Mm. And then it was two voices laughing. And then it was four. And then it was 10. And then it was 20. And it was just, like, consuming me. And I could do nothing about it. Mm. Like, I could do nothing about it. And so I was in this place of such desperation to be set free. And because I didn't know Jesus, I didn't know how to be set free.
Yeah.
I was chained to my bed. Mm. I don't even remember how long that went on. I mean, it could have been 5 minutes. It could have been 5 hours.
And were you still worshiping Satan during all that?
Oh, yeah.
So what led you to, like, is it because Satan gave you some sort of power? Or what is that? Because I believe there's some people, and I feel the Spirit tell me on this, that somebody thinks that because God is feeling silent in their life, that they're going to go to Satan just because his voice is louder. Just because the voice is louder doesn't mean it's more powerful.
No.
And I just want to ask you now, what led you to think, okay, I'm feeling this, but I'm going to worship Satan? Is it because you were, why was that?
Well, it's because I didn't know I was worshiping Satan.
Mm.
That's the thing, is, like, you are so deep into the demonic and so connected to these spirit guides and your highest consciousness and your most awakened state and all this stuff. And you really, really think it's good.
Yeah.
I mean, genuinely. Like, and here's the thing, and I say this all the time, like, I was a good person. It's not like I was a bad person. It's not like I wanted to go out here and make other, like, send curses on other people and all this stuff. Like, I started doing light work because I wanted love. Mm. I wanted light. I wanted peace. I wanted joy. I didn't know I was worshiping Satan.
So what did the blood rituals look like?
Because we get into the wild.
I'm trying to know.
No, yeah. This is wild. The first time that I ever did a blood ritual, I didn't actually know what I was doing because I was so young. I was probably like 15 or 16. It was like, I know, I say I didn't get into the deeper stuff until I was like 17. I'm like, no, girl.
You must have missed it.
I was, dude, I was doing the most.
Yeah, you were.
Early. Huh. But I was with my friend. And I actually completely forgot about this until she was on a live the other day. And she said, hey, you remember when we did this? And I was like, oh, I was doing this young. Wow. I forgot. So what we did is and you know what? So many people watching this right now are going to be like, oh my gosh, I have done that. Mm. And I didn't even know.
Yeah.
I was with my friend. We were in the woods on a little adventure, as like young people do, building forts or something. And I said, hey, let's cut our fingers, both of us.
Yeah.
And we'll put our fingers together and we will become blood sisters and be tied in the spirit for forever. And we slit our fingers and we put our blood together and we said,
what did you cut your finger with?
I don't even know. Probably a rock. I think it was probably a rock or something. We might have even had a knife. Listen, y'all, I grew up in the country. Okay. I was allowed to do whatever. Okay.
Y'all were brave.
Yeah. So I remember we cut our fingers and we put our fingers together and we said, whatever is out there in the universe, in the spirit, bind us now.
Not that.
So that's the first time I did a blood ritual. I didn't even know.
It's the way movies also like advertise that too. If you see like in like, and I don't know why, I don't know if it's in Little Rascals. I really don't. I'm just like thinking that vibe of like stuff where it's like, it seems innocent.
It's just like kid stuff.
It's exactly. It's like kid stuff. And like those like.
The same way that Christ wants us to come to him as a child, so does the devil.
Mm.
Okay, so does the devil.
Yeah.
He wants us to come to him so innocent and easily influenced.
Yeah.
And it worked with me for a little.
Yeah.
Man, so that's the first time I ever did one.
Can I ask you, what was like, and I don't know, what was like the music you were listening to during that time?
Yeah. Well,
because okay. I believe it's all connecting, so I just want to know.
Sure. Well, I was like a little emo scene girl during this time.
Who's scene?
Scene, like S-C-E-N-E, like scene, like emo. I was emo.
I know emo, but I ain't heard emo
it's
scene.
It's the same thing. Okay. It means the same thing.
It's giving Gen Z.
So if
you're
you guys
millennial.
Didn't know, Karoo did, was not in the scene. Okay.
Oh, emo. Emo scene. Okay, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, y'all. I'm low-key hungry.
All it's right. fine. Yeah.
It's giving low blood sugar.
Oh my gosh, Karoo, don't be passing out. I rebuke it. Okay. So I was listening to, at that time when I was younger, like 14, 15, I was listening to a lot of like Paramore. I was listening to a lot of like.
And they're in Twilight too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Listen, the Twilight.
How did we get here?
The Twilight soundtracks on repeat. On repeat.
What's in that movie?
I don't know.
I heard like people were like peeing in the bed and they were like shit, like behind trees and
I
stuff.
Don't doubt it. I don't doubt it.
Honestly, they had me in a chokehold. So.
Seriously. So at that point, I was having a horrible sleep paralysis every night, panic attacks every night. Porn addiction was off the charts. It was something that I dealt with every day and truthfully like affected every single part of my life. It wasn't just something that I was like thinking about when I was home alone at night. Like it was consuming. Mm. And I feel like a lot of women don't talk about it because it's so shameful. The enemy sends shame and guilt. He says, you're so nasty. Women don't go through this. You are the only one. And it is a lie.
Amen.
That is a lie. It's 50% of women statistically have a porn addiction. Mm. And no one talks about that.
Yeah.
And so I felt so alone, not only in my identity, not only in my career, which we'll talk about that next. Not only in my the way that I just craved intimacy, like I just wanted to be loved so desperately. And I was trying to find every single avenue to fulfill that. But like you said earlier, we have a God-sized, you know, hole in our heart and nothing is going to fill that except him. But boy, if I didn't try, I was searching every single thing, every single thing that I could find. I was trying it, drugs, alcohol. And I mean, not like party drugs. I mean, like, I was getting down with some drugs and pills and just consuming every part of my life with darkness. And if y'all think the demonic stuff I was seeing before was crazy, no. Once I was completely consumed in all of this, and we can get into that deeper, but I was so consumed by the demonic at that point that I didn't even know what was real and what was not
the spiritual
or what
line
was spiritual.
So thin.
It was so thin that I was literally deceived to the point where I thought, I'm just going to stop commenting on the things that I see or things I experience, because I don't know if anybody actually did see that or if that's another one of these things that like I'm experiencing that nobody else can see. It was just so constant that I didn't know the difference between reality and spiritual. I was consumed.
What was like the spells and stuff you was doing?
So
when we hear spells, we being like,
we don't really even know what
thinking
that
of Halloween
means,
and we'll get
to
Halloween
honest.
In a second.
Oh, we will talk about
don't
it.
Don't even get me.
Don't
with John Ramirez.
We'll talk about it.
Love her.
Okay. So the spells that I really loved to do, because oftentimes in the witchcraft world, they're told to be the most powerful, is spells that align with the moon phases. And so, man, witches go crazy on a full moon.
Really?
Crazy. That's on a full moon. And if you don't know what they do on Halloween, we'll talk about it. Because it is deep.
What about also, too, like with like zodiac signs?
Mm-hmm. Oh, demonic.
Because why are they low-key accurate in, like, certain ways? Like
people act so surprised when demons know things about them, as if they haven't traveled thousands of years watching their bloodline every single step of the way.
Right. Because somebody told me today, they were, like, mentioning about, like, a zodiac 100%. Sign, and I was just like, hold on, because why are we the same person?
So, but also, let me get the life coach out here real quick. Mm-hmm. There's this thing called the red car theory.
Okay.
How many red cars did you see on your drive? Well, you did drive a couple of hours, but like...
I don't remember.
Okay. If I gave you $5 million to take a 10-minute drive and find me 20 red cars, you would win $5 million. You would. Because you're searching for it. Mm. You're looking to find the thing that you're, you know, seeking. Mm. And so when we read zodiac signs, or when we read horoscopes, or when we read our birth charts, or when we read blah, 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 we're like... Oh my goodness, me. And it's like my, but it's like my best friend who is completely opposite with me also thinks it's about her. So it's like, there is an aspect of that where we try to conform to what we think should be right or what we want to hear as the truth.
And I think as Christians, that's dangerous because we begin to take an identity when our only identity should be Christ.
Yeah.
So we're taking, or even the Enneagram. I'm Enneagram this. I'm Enneagram
seven. Go there.
I believe that the Enneagram and these Christian pastors and stuff aren't ready to talk about this one.
Go there.
But it is a way for the enemy to attack. And I honestly believe it's demonic because it's actually taking titles on yourself when our one title is a child of a king. That's I'm not true. Enneagram seven. I'm not a Cancer. I'm not any of these things. I rebuke it in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
But what I am is a child of God.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, if we want to go there, the Enneagrams were written through automatic writing, which is a demonic way for a spirit to write through you. And it is very openly demonic.
Why are Christians
But widely accepted by Christians and even taught in churches?
Well, because there was times where like, and this is how I knew it was demonic. I would hang out with like some friends and they'd be like, yeah, well, you're Enneagram 4. So it's the 4 coming out in you. I was like, I rebuke that. If there's something that I'm doing that is toxic, quit blaming it on an Enneagram and pray over me and intercede over me. Rebuke a spirit if you need to and invite the Holy Spirit in, because this is growth. Because everyone wants to think that because their Enneagram matches up to some, then there's no growth. For example, I was always for the success driven, people pleasing. Yeah, in the past, I have struggled with that, but I don't take that identity. I'm going to move on. God's going to heal me from that, and he will, and he already has in Jesus' name.
Amen.
But I think with the Enneagram, I think with the horoscope, all this crazy stuff, people are holding on to that identity like it's the last thing they have. Well, I'm this. It's an excuse.
And it will be the last thing you have.
Exactly. It's an excuse to not grow.
The enemy will take and destroy every single thing you give him. Mm. And it's so true. Everything you just said is true.
The thing is, as a believer, we're supposed to be walking closer to sanctification. But with the horoscope and with the Enneagram, it's actually putting you in a space of saying, this is who I am. It's okay to stay the way that I am.
Not only is it limiting you and your identity, but it's limiting there to be actual truth exposed to you, because if your truth is relevant, then it doesn't matter what the truth is, and truth is not subjective. It's all demonic, all of it, and 100% of what you just said is truth. And I think that we should dig deeper into that, because the Christian culture has accepted these things as innocent and as whatever they want to conform them to. However, like I said, demons don't care about your intentions. They don't look at somebody and say, oh, she's got good intentions, we won't enter that one. They say, oh, she opened the door, go.
I wanted to ask you one thing. What do you think for the Christians who are listening and saying like, okay, I'm not going to worship Satan, I'm not going to be doing these blood rituals and all this stuff. What would you say? Because there's some who are still practicing New Age and worshiping the enemy in certain ways. Mm-hmm. So what would you say to them in that, because of the music and the stuff they're watching, all this stuff?
I would say that whatever you put into your mind is going to come out of your mouth. Out of the heart is what flows from the mouth. That's right? Good. The Bible says. And it's going to corrupt your mind. It's going to corrupt your thoughts. It's going to corrupt your emotions and your feelings. I mean, you talked about this with the Taylor Swift thing, the Reputation era. You were like, I literally wanted revenge in every part of my life. Like, it influences us in ways that we don't know. And so what I will say to that Christian is, just because you think it ain't that deep doesn't mean it ain't that deep.
No, that's good. All right, y'all, we're finna have to cut this because we're jabbing our jaws into part two. So the next episode, we're going to be talking about not being scared of the enemy.
Yeah.
And what that like actual authority in Christ looks like. And I also want to touch more on just secular music, what that looks like. Halloween, because that's a hot topic as well. Because we finna go there. It's a secret place. We're talking about the stuff that nobody on stage wants to talk about. This is our time with the Lord, like Matthew 6 talks about. I give it to God, he handle the rest.
Amen.
Anyways, catch y'all in next episode. Again, thank you so much
for being here. Thank you for this. And we will keep talking and talking and talking. So we'll see y'all next week.
All right. Bye.
Bye.